So we decided we're going to sing a song that we use, that we sing very often in our church, because it's Polish. Let me just translate it right quick. Jesus gives us salvation. Jesus gives us peace. Unto him we give thanksgiving, praise from all of our heart. Jesus is our strength. He's the song of our life. He's the eternal King, incredible in his might. In him we found what we were looking for. He gave us his hand that we might have the victory every day. In his wounds is healing. In his death is the gift of life. His blood is cleansing. His life is our glory. Amen. So you have an idea more or less of what we're going to be singing about. Today, I'm going to preach in Polish, and I'm going to ask my dad to translate for me. He went up to visit us one time there in Łódź, and he was preaching for us. And he realized that like 95% of the people were in the church were American, and there's only like 3 or 4 Poles. So he's like, you know what? We're going to do something different. He says, I'm going to preach in English, and why don't you translate for me? What? So it turned out pretty well. It turned out all right. We had a good time, to say the least. Anyways, speaking of good times, on behalf of Magda and my children, we want to thank you so, so very much for your hospitality. Magda said it probably sounds cliche, but it's the truth. We're so grateful for your hospitality and for your kindness, for your friendship. We thank you so very much for your prayers, and we thank you very much for supporting our ministry financially. It's just a wonder. Every month we get a report. And we get a summary of the offerings, of the proof of your love toward us and towards the ministry, towards the gospel. And it's amazing how for 13 years now, the same people are on the same list every single month during those 13 years. And so I thank you so much for your patience with me. I thank you very much for supporting our ministry.
I believe with all of my heart that God sent me to Łódź. No, I didn't see a vision. No, I didn't hear anything in the sky. But when you're there and you're in the middle of God's will, you know that it's God's will. And a great work is being done in Łódź. Souls are being saved in the heart of Europe. And it's God's glory is being manifested. And whenever I came this year and coming this year, it's my purpose always to extol and to magnify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ because He's worthy. And I'm trying my best to do that in the preaching. I want to preach about His power, about His might, because I see it. I see Him moving. I see Him doing the impossible. I see Him bringing life to people that have been dead for very many years. So thank you once again. One more thing to Generation X. Just one more thing. I said it the other day that we are living in the easiest time to be Christians. And I think for any one of the aged ones, reaching a million people by yourself is unfathomable, right? Can you imagine, Danny? Either one of you Dannys, it doesn't matter. Reaching a million people with the gospel on your own? I mean, it's just doesn't make sense. But for our generation, what is a million people? I mean, it's common that somebody posts a video on YouTube or on Facebook, and you have a million followers, you know, or Twitter. I mean, we have so much potential. I mean, we're talking about a possibility of actually reaching all nations. You know, 41 years ago, sending out missionaries to all of the nations. I mean, yes, okay, Lord, there's the verse. We read it. We believe it. But, nah, we're not going to reach all of them. I mean, come on, guys, right? Now, to reach all of the world, it's a piece of pie. Piece of cake. Yeah, I'm still thinking about my pecan pie. I talk to people from China. I've spoken to people from China, from Africa. I had a guy from Brazil that I spoke to. Just because I'm there in Łódź. Just because we live in a different time, and our possibility, the chance that we have. Right now, we can do something incredible. And guys, please don't pass up on the opportunity because of whatever. I know all of us have our lives, and we have our dreams, and we have our goals that we want to accomplish. But don't put God's work aside for whatever your excuse might be. You don't have to be intelligent to do the work. You don't have to be gifted to do God's work. You don't have to know all Bible doctrines, right and left, to be able to do God's work. Look at me. I'm not an intelligent person. I'm not a gifted person by any means. And some of the doctrines that I find in the Bible, I'm just overwhelmed with. God is looking for somebody who is willing to go. If the weakest among us decide to stand up and volunteer to go and accomplish God's work, won't that mean that when He accomplishes His work, and He will, doesn't it mean by logic, reasoning, that God will receive the most glory and the most honor for it? Amen. Now, if we were to send somebody who was educated, like my wife, if we were to send somebody who taught in a seminary 20 plus years, and then they went over to Poland and they started to work, wouldn't we all say, well, yeah, look at what he's done. Come on, guys. Wouldn't we say that? Wouldn't we say, look what human reasoning, human wisdom has accomplished. But you guys sent me, Generation X, I'm over there. Come join me.
Amen.
Be a part of it. You have an occasion right now to do something that's going to last for all of eternity.
Right.
From what I understand, God's window is still open. I think the gate is still open. The invitation is still, it's still current. It's still active. It's still available. Don't pass on so great opportunity for whatever. Because just think about it. That's just what it is. Whatever. We have God and His work on the one hand, and anything you can throw at Him on the other hand. What is it? What does it amount to? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, Mark Jones was up here and he was asking for your help. He was literally asking for somebody to go help him up there. I want to tell you, no. Don't go to Austin. Be bolder. Come over to Łódź. Come to Łódź. We want and we need your help. We've had your support and your prayers, your financial support and your prayers. We have them. We need more laborers.
Yeah.
The harvest is great. If you want to get into the fishing, now is the time. I mean, they're biting now, by God's grace. I don't know how long they'll continue biting. I don't know how many eventually will bite by the time it's done. All I know is that right now, for some reason, unbeknownst to me, God has said, okay, guys, it's that time. And He is blessing the work in Łódź. We are seeing souls saved. I'm not just talking about people coming out the church, but we're talking about people that have been in church for 20 years, but never saved. Hearing us preach on the street and say, what's going on? What are you doing? And they come out to the church and they get saved. God gives them life and forgiveness of sins and gives them, He reconciles them to Himself, and somebody needs to teach them. What I'm saying is there are too many people for Steve and I to teach by ourselves. Are you willing to go? Do you want to go? Do you want to go? Just come on over. Come on over. We invite you. Please open your Bibles to Psalms 77. In verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Have He in anger shut up His tender mercies, Selah? I said, this is my infirmity. And I have to say, I agree. This is my infirmity. And I hope it's yours as well. Because any preacher can stand up here and answer the question for you. But the truth is that we as individuals have to answer this question by ourselves. Jim, you have to answer this question, these questions yourself. Nobody can answer it for you. Father, nobody can answer these questions for you. You have to answer them yourself. And without these questions being answered, we have an infirmity. We are weakened. We are disabled. Our ability to go forward is arrested. Because if God has forgotten to be gracious, we're not going to go. If God's mercy is no longer available, we will not be hypocrites and we will not be liars and we will not be deceivers and corruptors of God's word and say, peace, peace, when God says there is no peace. Is the door still open? We live in the last times. This is true. That's true. That's without question. But is it game over already? Has the fat woman sung already? Has he barred the doors? Has he shut the door as he did in the days of Noah? Is there room for no more? That's the question. Those are the questions that are being asked right here. I don't know your opinion. I don't know what you think is the answer. You have to find it yourself. But until you answer these questions truthfully and honestly for yourself, this will be your infirmity. This will hinder you from doing what you know has to be done. Now, if you can answer that no, God hasn't forgotten, and no, God still is gracious, and no, He will not judge forever, and no, He has not forgotten, and no, He hasn't cast off. If you can answer no to these questions, then you have a motivation. You have something that can drive you. You have something that can move you, that can stir you up, that can be the right reason for running through that troop and walking and jumping over that wall. Because God is showing mercy and He's showing grace and forgiveness of sins to the sinless, to the ungodly, to the corrupt, to the enemies of the cross. He's showing them mercy. There He is, hanging on the cross again, saying, crying out. We would think time is up. We would think that, okay, the Jews, they've crossed the line. The line was drawn in the sand, and it's over for them. But yet there He is on the cross, crying out with a loud voice, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God is unusually and exceedingly long-suffering towards us. And that long-suffering and that kindness is moving people. I think here in San Antonio, two weeks ago, two young people were baptized. They weren't saved. They were giving testimony that God showed salvation and has given them life. So the mercy is still being shown and given here in San Antonio. I'm here giving testimony that God is still showing that same mercy and that same compassion and that same love and that life there in Łódź, in Central Europe. In Central Europe, guys. In Torun, the same thing. In Warsaw. My brother-in-law's church, the church that he pastors, they're having baptisms like never before.
Praise God.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Praise God. One of the brothers mentioned about China. And there just being a general revival going on there. Talking about the refugees coming into Europe and being greeted with Bibles. We're not deceiving anybody, not all of them, but you know what? Many of them are. Many people, many men, women, and children who never would have had the slightest chance and or opportunity to hear the gospel because they're being run out of their countries and coming to Europe have faithful men and women preaching the gospel of peace to them. So the questions are, will the Lord cast off forever? Is His mercy clean, gone forever? Have we come to the point where God says, cut it down? Why does it take up the ground? Maybe you say yes. Maybe in your mind, the Lord is done. Well, the faithful servant said, Lord, give me one more year.
Amen.
Give me one more year. Let me dung it some more. Let me prune it a different way. Let me try something different. But Lord, give me one more year. Have you ever considered that even if you come to the conclusion through some strange reason that no, the Lord is done with the Gentiles. Now we need to focus on Israel or we just got to prepare for the rapture. We're going to be out of here. For some strange reason, you think that you're done. Have you ever considered following the example of that faithful servant? Lord, one more year. You know, maybe giving your neighbor one more chance.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
You know, going out and speaking to your coworker one more time. You know, going out on the streets, passing out tracts, street preaching, giving the Alamo one more shot, one more swing at it. Who cares? What do you got to lose? What can it hurt? Have you considered? This is my infirmity. It's a troubling thought. Now, I'm just like you. I understand how tiring life is. I pray just like you do, even so come, Lord Jesus. I love His coming. I can't wait to see Him. And probably for the same selfish reasons that you can't. I can't stand the fact that no matter how hard I try, I still bring shame to Him. I disappoint Him. As long as we're in the flesh, we're going to be sinners. And so for a selfish reason and for selfish motives, I can't wait to see the Lord because I'm done. I've had it. I'm done every day calling out to the Lord. Forgive me one more time. Forgive me yet again. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry for that same thing. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. But we're talking about until the Lord comes, giving your mom and your dad one more shot. Just like He gave my grandparents one more opportunity. Or a son and a daughter. You know, that prodigal son, that black sheep in the family that's run away and gotten in sin. Kind of like Manasseh. There he is in the dungeons of Babylon, rotting away. Rightfully so. And God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is an affirmity. On the one hand, we say, Lord, come. We pray, Lord, we've had enough. Lord, how long will you tarry? Lord, how long can we run? Even a marathon at 42 kilometers has its end, has its cross, its finish line, right? But Lord, there's no end in sight. And so we want it to be done, and we want to say, yes, Lord. But on the other hand, we're talking about souls of men. We're talking about San Antonians. We're talking about Americans. We're talking about Mexicans. We're talking about Poles damned for eternity. Lord, please give me one more year. Please give me one more year. So verse 10 says, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High.
Amen.
No, his mercy isn't gone over.
Right.
He hasn't forgotten.
That's right.
I remember that Isaiah, when standing before God and hearing, who shall we send? Said, send me. And then Isaiah's following question was, how long, Lord? And summarizing the response of the Lord, until there aren't any more people living. It's basically what the response of God is. So I will remember the word of God. I will remember the promise of God. That while there are people here in San Antonio, while there are people in Woj, while there are people in Mexico, they still got a chance. They still got a shot at being saved. What do they need? They need a preacher. They need someone to stand and speak the word. They need someone to send them. Those preachers have to be sent. Somebody has to sit down behind the desk and have that air conditioning blowing on their neck and doing something that seems senseless and useless so that preachers can go out and get that message going. You are not, brother, useless. And you are not wasting your time. And you are not done. God is not done using you.
Amen.
I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders, thy wonders of old. If it seems to you like it's over, remember Leon. Remember Guatemala. Remember when people were saying, it cannot, it will not, it shall not be done. But God revealed his powerful hand and said, it shall be.
Amen.
Remember those works of old. I will meditate also of all thy work. Don't only remember them, but meditate upon them. Think about them. Let those be the thoughts of your heart when you're laying in bed. Let those works be the thoughts that fill your heart with joy and pride and glory and passion and an urge of vengeance. Meditate upon them. I will meditate also of all thy work. And talk of thy doings. And talk of thy doings. Remember them. Meditate upon them. And go tell of the wondrous things that God has done for thee. As soon as the Lord had delivered Peter from prison, from under Herod's sword, he said, go show the brethren. Go show what the Lord has done for you. That demon-possessed man from Gadara so willingly, so full-heartedly wanted to be with the Lord. He wanted to be right next to him, sit at his feet and listen to him. He said, go show. Go tell what God has done for thee. Poor Hezekiah saw the mighty hand of God. And instead of telling what God has said, telling others what God has done, he starts talking about his business. He starts talking about his cars, about his horses, about his gold, about his house, about his works. Meditate on the great things that God has done and tell others of them.
Amen.
Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Talk about people. Talk to people about the Lord. And then stand in awe and thankfulness of great things that God has done. One more verse. Isaiah 26. Verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength.
Amen.
Trust in Jehovah because he's everlasting. His mercy is not a limited time offer. His compassion and his gift of life isn't, you know, well, I'll give you 20 years or 10 years or 5 years or whatever. He's an everlasting God. Look up at verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That is not my infirmity. I have the answer. My mind is stayed on him. I am looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of my faith. And I stand before you, and I say, I will go until God calls me home.
Amen. Amen.
I will preach until God calls me home. My mind is stayed on him. My eye is on him. I see the vision. Guys, thank you so much for showing the vision. I see it. I have it. Will anybody come with me? Come with me. Come with me to Wooch. Come help us. Speak of our great God and of his great works.